So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
Is that your final answer? You've got some final decisions to make for sits and starts. If you are playing fantasy football for a championship in week 17, we look at the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday games, recording this Thursday just as the Seahawks-Bears game is beginning. I wanted to get you a Saturday, Sunday, Monday breakdown after doing the two Christmas games on the podcast earlier this week, thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and for support, of course, from Brandon Legal Group and from Hooters. Again, using Matthew Berry updated rankings as a talking point that I'm looking at again as we record this on Thursday night, around kickoff of Seattle and Chicago. So there will be some Seahawks and Bears in here that are no longer relevant to the rankings going forward to Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Remember, three Saturday games. Don't sleep in on Saturday, wake up too late, and realize that you missed an opportunity to make a lineup change or make a waiver change. You got locked into a player on the bench. That can happen. Locked into a player in your starting lineup you didn't want. You were unaware of some other things. Get on it. One of the things that I do, and again, in the two leagues I commission, and I am still playing in week 17 for sort of a mid-season, late-season fantasy championship as a favor to someone that needed another owner. A little different for me because it's a two-week championship, but it was week 16 and 17 by my request. They have mandatory tight end. They have DST. They have – you can flex a running back. I just made one request. Can we end this in week 17? And the request was approved for the reasons that I gave, that too many games would not have integrity. So I'm branching out a little bit just to see what that life is like. And it's been very competitive through Christmas, through the week plus. But one of the things that I do when I am playing the last week of a fantasy season is, if I'm not going to use a player in my starting lineup and his game is coming up, I cut him before his game comes up because it gives me roster flexibility to pick someone else up later. Let me explain. So let's say, actually, I did this with Pacheco. So before what, 1 o'clock Eastern time or whenever the Chiefs game started on Christmas, I decided that Pacheco had no value to me. I was going to use three running backs in week 17, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Kyren Williams. I know, not bad. So why keep Pacheco on my roster? Cut him. Leave the spot open. Because in many leagues, not all, but in many leagues, once a player's game has started, he's locked on your roster and you can't cut him off your bench. So I wanted to open up the roster spot. Did the same earlier today. Was not going to use a guy who's helped me late season in one particular league, Jackson Smith and Jigba. I wasn't going to use him as a wide receiver or a flex play in this week for a championship. There's no next week, so go ahead and cut him. And I just picked up another quarterback because I am one of those in that league waiting for more news on Jalen Hurts. And as we speak on Thursday night, according to Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, it doesn't sound great. I'm still not writing it off. But what I did by dumping Pacheco before his game locked him in on my bench, or dumping Smith and Jigba for the same, and I went ahead and I picked up other quarterback options. So I have choices already on my roster. If Sunday 11:30 a.m. comes and Jalen Hurts is inactive. So I'm not scanning the waiver wire because my opponent could do something, pick up players that he doesn't want playing against him. I've already got other quarterback options on my team. So, and you can do this rolling through the week. I mean, think about how many games were isolated in week 17, the early Christmas game, the second Christmas game, the Thursday night game, the first Saturday game, the second Saturday game, the third Saturday game. So give that a thought. Why leave the player sitting on your bench, especially if he's going to be locked in, if this is your championship week? Just cut him. You don't even have to pick up anybody right away. You can if you want, but it gives you some roster flexibility going into the rest of the weekend, going into Sunday in the 1 o'clock window, the 4 o'clock window, the Sunday night game, dare I say, even the Monday game, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, not have an available roster spot. And I get, well, let's say you get to whatever Sunday night and that's it. And you have a guy that you don't want to play, then you just cut him in your starting lineup to make room for somebody else. But sometimes you need an extra roster spot. So make sure you have that, because there's nothing beyond this week. Because if you're playing fantasy football in week 18, your commissioner should be fired. The games don't have enough integrity. So here we go with Matthew Berry rankings for games beyond Christmas. Jahmyr Gibbs 1, Barkley 2, Bijan 3, Achane 4. Funny how Robinson's value is at its highest here late in the season, right? So many of you that drafted Robinson either as probably the third, maybe the second running back off the board behind McCaffrey, depending on what you did or didn't do. Hopefully you didn't do with Breece Hall. And here at the end of the year, Bijan Robinson is producing for you to help win you a fantasy championship. Achane 4, Josh Jacobs 5, Kyren Williams 6, Jonathan Taylor up to 7 off his enormous game following his embarrassment the previous week. Zach Charbonnet up to 8. This is going to be interesting to see what Seattle does going forward as it relates to not just week 18 playoffs, but next year. Because Charbonnet on his own, with no Ken Walker available, just seems to have a lot more value than Walker would in front of Charbonnet. Chase Brown, 9. James Conner may not play. This would be very damaging to those of you who've been pretty consistent in using Conner as a running back 2 or a flex. And in recent weeks, he's put up some really big numbers. But you better check status on Conner for the Cardinals. And apparently Trey Benson wouldn't be able to fill in for him. So check status on your own. So those are the top 10. The next 10, Bucky Irving, Breece Hall, James Cook, Aaron Jones, Chuba Hubbard. Again, these are Matthew Berry's rankings as of the day after Christmas Eve. Isaac Garendo, Brian Robinson, Ramondre, Alexander Mattison, and Jerome Ford off his strong plug-and-play game in the first game, fully without Nick Chubb and with Jameis not under center. Below 20, Dowdle had a down game against the Bucs, so he's down to 25 in Matthew's rankings. Tyrone Tracy recently had a touchdown vultured by Singletary. I mean, the Giants are just so bad. Rashad White off the game-ending fumble in the Bucs' loss. I'm going in inverse order here, but I'm looking at other running backs that are below 20 and just trying to find any value there. And it's tough. I guess if you're looking for something that Matthew Berry didn't rank in the top 20, maybe it's ETN. There have been some modest signs of life there. You know, if you've had him all year and you probably haven't been playing him, but in what, 2 of the last 3 weeks, at least there's been a respectable floor there. It's a game against the Titans. You're not going to want to watch it. Jags fans and Titans fans don't want to watch it. But maybe, it's funny, Barry ranks Bigsby and ETN at 27, 28. I was actually working with a friend on his DraftKings lineup for this coming weekend, and I saw ETN pop up, and it got my attention that maybe there's something there, because it's hard to see obvious value with really any of the running backs in Matthew Berry's rankings below 20 this week. I'm sure one or two of them will hit, but it just doesn't really stand out to me. The biggest news, of course, is if James Conner can't go. And of course, we've already mentioned Jalen Hurts, at least according to Ian Rappaport, as of Thursday night, doesn't look like he's going to go. Wide receiver rankings, according to Matthew Berry, 1 through 10. Chase, Nacua, Jefferson, Adams, Brown, Thomas. Look at Brian Thomas up to 6. T. Higgins, 7. A.J. Brown, Malik Nabers, Terry McLaurin. Check status on McLaurin. Saw some headline involving him with a limited practice or something else on Thursday night. Then 11 through 20, Lamb, Smith, and Jigba. That seems high for Smith and Jigba to be ahead of Evans at 13, London at 14. It wasn't a huge game for Michael Penix in terms of, he didn't throw a touchdown, but he got through the game. They won the game. And now I would expect there will be a little bit more, calling plays for Penix to do a little bit more, throwing and running. Jordan Addison, 15. Garrett Wilson, 16. Ladd McConkey, 17. Ladiator. DJ Moore, 18. Keenan Allen, 19 seems high. Juwan Jennings, 20. Tyreek Hill, 21. Cortland Sutton, 22. Debo off his good performance, 23. We wonder if that's sustainable for another week with the Niners out of it. And against the Lions, Devontae Smith, 24. Against the Cowboys, DK Metcalf, 25. That's Thursday night. Cooper Kupp at 26. Just, I got an email from a listener who said he had three choices for a starter this week and just simply asked, which one would I start? And it was Kupp, Reed, and Marvin Harrison Jr. And like Matthew Berry has him at Kupp at 26, Harrison at 32, and Jaden Reed at 33. My answer back to him was, I don't love any of them, right? This is for your championship. And I even told him the Patrick Daugherty ranking said Kupp. Turns out the Berry ranking say Kupp. I heavily invested in Kupp this year. It didn't help me win a championship. Granted, he got hurt, week two? But he's clearly not the featured pass catcher in that offense. And he's a strong drop-off to third best option to move the ball behind Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua. I can't make sense when Josh Jacobs isn't carrying the ball, who's going to get it in the Green Bay offense, but they're winning. And Marvin Harrison Jr. has been just okay all year. Does Harrison get a bump if the Cardinals don't have James Conner or an established run game just because they got to throw against the Rams? Can you make that argument? I told the listener, I didn't like any of them. Like, can you find someone else on waivers that you could get excited about? I know it's week 17, but someone might be out there. Someone maybe like a Jacoby Myers receiving balls from Aiden O'Connell, who's playing for his job against a Saints team that didn't even score last week. A Jalen McMillan, who's getting a lot of snaps and a lot of routes on a Buccaneer team that is going to live and die based on how they do offensively. Trying to think of anyone else. It's funny, when I was helping my friend with his DraftKings lineup, I was scanning down wide receivers around this point. Matthew Berry ranks Romeo Dobbs at 44. I like Dobbs more than Reed. I do. I think Dobbs potentially gets more attention. I don't like the term targets because they're not points, but I think Dobbs potentially has the eye more of Love than Reed. Mims with the Broncos. We've seen enough to think Mims can make a play or two. It's a low floor, but there's a big play element there. I even brought up one of the Commanders wide receivers who had two touchdowns last week as my friend was putting together the DraftKings team. And he didn't want to go with that because he said, well, it was sort of in a revenge game. And then we both kind of laughed and said the player has been on virtually every team in the league. So every game's a revenge game. So what does that really mean? The last thing I want to do is quarterbacks. And again, keep checking status on Jalen Hurts. Funny, we went down this road a few years ago, and it's why I changed my leagues to a 16-week composite. 13-week regular season, 3-week playoff, because Jalen Hurts was hurt and sat out a Week 17 game that the Eagles really didn't need to win. And then he came back in Week 18 and played. They won and solidified that playoff seed that they were trying to get without him by not playing him. And here we are again with Jalen Hurts potentially being out. Matthew Berry has him ranked as QB3 behind only Josh Allen and Jaden Daniels, minus the Christmas games. Joe Burrow 4, Brock Purdy 5 seems high. Baker Mayfield 6, Kyler Murray 7. Kyler may be throwing it more, maybe running it more if James Conner isn't playing. Jared Goff 8. Goff just continues to throw touchdowns. You put Jared Goff in your fantasy lineup, you're expecting 3 touchdowns. That's nice. I know he's going to give you nothing on the ground, but you're expecting him, even with a productive running game, right? And Gibbs, we already mentioned Matthew Berry has Gibbs at RB1. The huge push with no David Montgomery right now or for the foreseeable future or until next year. You expect Goff to throw 3 touchdowns. You do. Bo Nix 9 against the Bengals. I do expect a good game there from Nix. The Broncos with a lot to play for. The Bengals do not have a win this year against an opponent with a starting quarterback you would think is any good. And I think we all agree Bo Nix, we think, is good. Sam Darnold, 10 against the Packers. I know the Packers are coming off the shutout, but to compare Sam Darnold and Spencer Rattler isn't right. Then Justin Herbert, 11. Anthony Richardson, 12. Check status there. Aaron Rodgers, 13. Down to Caleb Williams, 14. One of my friends was trying to decide between Tua and Geno Smith this week, and their Matthew Berry ranks them both as non-QB1s, 15 and 16 for Tua and for Geno. Jordan Love down to 18. Michael Penix, great unknown, ranked at 21 in a game against the Commander defense that only has one game of film on him, and it was probably plays designed where Penix was very comfortable. Keep things safe. Here's what you know. We're not going to push it. And now they're 2 wins away from a division title. So kind of like Penix there. Same with Stafford down at 20. That seems a little low. I might elevate those guys a little bit more. If you have any questions about your sits and starts, get them to me. Just don't email me on Sunday. You can email me on Saturday, and I know we have games on Saturday, but they're one at a time. And I'll have time on Saturday to check email and respond, maybe not right away. So don't email me 5 minutes before you need a decision. Get out in front of these things. This is it. This is for your championship. Or you're in a last place game and trying to avoid a penalty. That's almost as important. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Good luck.